Next week we celebrate Pentecost, and we'll celebrate it with great music and praise. It's the day that the Spirit is poured out on the disciples, and those that gathered in Jerusalem heard them preach. It's this dramatic beginning to the church in the post-resurrection age. But today we're not quite there. That story is told in Acts chapter 2. Today we're in Acts chapter 1. The preparations are beginning to be made for whatever is to come. And thus far in chapter 1, Jesus has informed the disciples that it will not be long until the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is, the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. After saying this, Jesus ascends into heaven, and the disciples are left alone to figure this whole church thing out. They judge that their first task, so it seems, as church leaders, is to replace Judas and restore their ranks back to 12. It puzzles me a little bit that their first independent decisions as these church leaders would be to replace Judas. Decisions to replace are not easy to make. How do you know when it's time to replace something? An elderly husband and wife go to their orthopedist for a consultation concerning pain that the husband is having when he walks down his side. The orthopedist, after looking at some x-rays and some reports, says to the couple, "Well, I think we're looking at a hip replacement." To which the man's wife responds, "A hip replacement? But he hasn't been hip for years." That's really bad. Dennis isn't here, though, so we're okay, right? How do you know when something has to be replaced? Some things like hips and knees, you just know when the time of replacement has come, whether you're ready or not. Other replacements are harder to judge. My guess is some of you would answer this question differently. But think about a vehicle. How do you know when it's time to replace your car? Some of us don't like dealing with the hassle of a used car and their unpredictability, so instead of waiting for that costly repair to pop up post-warranty, we just get the new one before the warranty runs out, right? Some of you might agree with that. Some of us, like myself, are on the other far extreme, where we'll slap Band-Aids on our cars until the moment of truth is finally upon us. Most of us are somewhere in between. We like the idea of driving a car until it can't drive anymore, and yet there's something about that new or new-to-you smell. How they get that new car smell in the new-to-you car, I still don't understand. But then, even when the vehicle does die, sometimes the decision must be made whether you even replace it at all. Maybe you don't need that second car anymore. Maybe you don't need that truck or minivan anymore. Maybe quite the opposite, and need to get bigger. Pastor Audrey can tell you that I can hardly make such lasting decisions over replacing cars or anything else without much debate and research. It took me months to replace a car we lost in an accident. It took me years to come to grips with the fact that my favorite work shirt with its tears and frayed edges was officially a rag. So, I know the difficult situation these disciples are in. And for these disciples, not only must they decide who replaces Judas, they must decide if they're even going to replace him. Difficult decisions. However, it seems clear that the disciples are in agreement that their number must be 12. Doesn't seem to be arguable. That perfect number of 12 has these layers of meaning. First and foremost, the symbolic meaning according to their Jewish heritage, that the 12 of them represent the 12 tribes of Israel. A symbolic number. Reminds all of us that these disciples, they saw their ministry as a continuation of the Jewish faith. A reformation of those 12 tribes of Israel into something new, but not wholly different. And unlike the 12 tribes of Israel, which became fractured After the division of the Israelite monarchy and King Solomon, these 12 apostles would not be divided and fractured. 12 was their symbol of completeness, wholeness, unity. But commentator Beverly Roberts Gaventa also suggests that their number 12 could refer to some extra biblical Jewish writings that required one priest for every 10 people. One priest for every 10 people, which is interesting since we are told that the gathering of the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, is 120. So maybe there is necessity for Judas being replaced for the wellness of the body. But you can imagine the emotional baggage that goes into such a replacement. It's far more than replacing a car or a shirt. This is replacing a human being and a friend. And yes, the writer of Acts, who also wrote Luke, seems to have very little pity on the character of Judas. But we know he was still counted as one of their own. The author says that Judas, having betrayed Jesus by leading this mob, priests and soldiers, in exchange for money, which he used to buy a field where he died a gruesome death. But it would be reading too deeply into the text to guess these mixtures of emotions surrounding Jesus' betrayal and his death, but we can imagine that these wounds are deep. These wounds are conflated with a love for someone they considered like a brother. How do you replace them? It seems to me that two things help the disciples in this process of moving forward. Number one, the demands of the institution. The emerging institution of the church required leadership, and it required that it soon be placed because Pentecost was coming. The role needed to be filled and a qualified leader of the faith installed. And second, the Holy Spirit plays a central role in assisting the apostles in selecting their 12th apostle. And while it seems rather archaic to us, the process is clear. The apostles had narrowed down the field to two qualified candidates. And from there, the Holy Spirit would decide through the casting of lots. And I don't recommend this become our decision-making process for discernment, but the casting of lots was common practice for the Israelites throughout their history. And in a very neutral, non-emotional way, Matthias is chosen by God to fill the ranks. The demands of the institution and the will of the Spirit guide the apostles through the process. Beverly Roberts Gaventa ponders why this story is even included in the book of Acts. She says that at first glance, it would seem that this story is some kind of origin story for the apostle Matthias. Only after selecting him as the 12th apostle, we'd never hear about him again. So clearly, it's not a story about introducing some new key character. Rather, I think it is a story more about developing spirit-driven processes into some of our most challenging decisions in our lives. Let me say that again in another way. This story, loaded with emotionally charged backstory, is a guide for each of us in implementing spirit-driven processes to help make the most important decisions of our life easier. So what really needs replacing in your life? My guess is most of us don't want to go there. It was the prophet Ezekiel who spoke very plainly about the concept of replacement. Ezekiel spoke to a people that was abandoning their God, rejecting the vulnerable people among them, and after prophesying destruction on the people, he gives them this word of hope accompanied by this theology of replacement. He says in Ezekiel 36, 25 to 28, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. Then you will be my people, and I will be your God. Above all else, God seeks to replace our hearts. He seeks to give us hearts of flesh to replace that which has grown cold, grown tired. Ezekiel predicted this day would come, and Jesus reveals to us a process by which he can turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, and that is through belief in his death and resurrection. With Jesus, that which is cold, hard, and sinful is put to death, and with Jesus, new life enters into our very bodies. But getting ourselves to realize that such a decision must be made is difficult, as difficult as replacing Judas among the 12. Sometimes, even when we know what must be done, we don't want to let the Spirit take hold and follow through. But this day, my hope and prayer for each of us is that we might acknowledge that which in our life needs replacing. Then I ask you to go to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to do something new. Maybe the Spirit will replace in you some addiction in your life. Maybe the Spirit will replace some prejudice that exists inside of you. Maybe the Spirit will replace allegiances that you have held for far too long. God only knows. But God wants to replace that in you with goodness and love, a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. God wants to create room in you for an apostle in your life. So may it be so.